two types of people. Those who love Christmas, and they're always singing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. And two, the next group of people are find Christmas the most depressing time of the year. And their theme song is Blue Christmas, probably, but not the Porky Pig version, because that makes you laugh too much. It's too funny. Well, I got looking, and in Psychology Today, I don't know if it's a good magazine or not, but it did say this in one of the articles. We are told for Christians, Christmas should be the happiest time of year, an opportunity to be joyful and grateful with family, friends, and colleagues. Yet according to the National Institute of Health, Christmas is the time of year that people experience the highest incidence of depression. Hospitalization, police reports are the highest this time of year. Psychiatrists, psychologists, and other mental health professionals report a significant increase in patients complaining about depression. So that's what Psychology Today says. So I Googled how to survive Christmas, and I came up with this article by health.com. It was 10, but I'm only going to highlight 6 of them. 6 ways to survive Christmas. Number 1, avoid family conflict. For some of us, that would mean we would not eat with them, maybe. Focus on the good. Well, that's easy for the believer. We have lots of good to focus on. Forget about trying to be perfect. That's as well easy for us Christians. We know that we're not. Number 4 was limit media consumption. That might be harder for some of us. Number 5 was focus on what matters. Easy. What matters at Christmas? Christ. We can focus upon Him. And number 6, it says avoid excessive alcohol. That's very easy for Baptists. We don't drink. Well, at least that was supposed to be funny, but I guess maybe you guys drink. I don't know. But traditionally, Baptists don't drink, so that's supposed to be funny. It would be a good idea for us to focus on 2 of these things this Christmas season. Whether you're struggling or not, focus on the good and focus on what matters. In this passage, in just one verse, it reveals what really matters to us at Christmas. If there was nothing under your tree, no great meal, although you're going to, if you stick around, you will get a great meal. No family get-togethers. We as believers at least could focus upon the good of Christ Jesus and what He's done. That would be, and that should be and ought to be enough for us. What matters? His work of becoming human, appearing to us, and dying on the cross. Just want to do a quick overview of 1 John. Of course, I advertise this as a shorter sermon, it will be, but I want to do a quick overview. 1 John was written by the same John who wrote the Gospel of John and wrote the book of Revelation. It's a compact book. It's actually an easy book to read. Very easy English, even easier Greek, that it gives you a compact explanation of Christianity and Christian living. We don't really know who received this book, but we do know that there were some issues of the people who received this book in the church. Some of them, people in the congregation that this book was written to, some of those people were denying that Jesus was human. We know this by 1 John 4:2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. Often in our culture, people might embrace that Jesus is human, but they deny Him as God. The problem in this congregation is that people were denying that He was truly and fully human. The reason why John wrote this book is no secret. It's absolutely no secret. He tells us 9 times why he wrote this book. John 1:4, so that your joy may be complete. 1 John 2:1, he wrote this book so you don't sin. 1 John 2:13, he wrote this book to know that so that you may know your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. 1 John 2:13, He wrote this book because you know him who is from the beginning. Number five, he wrote this book because you have overcome the evil one. 1 John 2:13, because you know the Father. 1 John 2:21, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. 1 John 2:26, he wrote this book about those who are trying to deceive you. He's trying to warn them. And number nine, 1 John 5:13, he wrote this book that you may know you have eternal life. So nine reasons why he wrote this book. But this one verse that we're looking at, 1 John 3:5, gives us three powerful truths to make your Christmas joyful. Three truths. It will give you true joy at Christmas. Let's look at the first truth. Jesus appeared. Like it says, you know that he appeared. This word appeared can also mean revealed. Well, what does this mean? Jesus was revealed. John uses the word revealed because Jesus already existed. He has just been revealed clearly to the earth. Meaning that if Jesus only existed at birth, and he only came into his existence at his conception and birth, John would have used another word to describe Jesus' coming. But Jesus was revealed, meaning he existed already, but now has been manifested, or now has been made known by appearing in flesh, in human form. Again, this is what we call, big word, incarnation. Basically meaning, the Word became flesh, just like John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Note that this is something that Christians know. He says, you know that. But many false teachers out there with regards to Jesus do not know this truth, but they know it. The false teachers reject this truth. The Christians know this truth. But Jesus appeared for a purpose. He appeared, point two, in order to take away sin. I remember in the study of one of my classes was the study of Jesus. It was called Christology, which means the study of Jesus. And in this book, they put out 13 reasons why Jesus had to become human. Now, I can't find the book anymore, and my mom threw out the notes to that class. So I can't confirm everything, but I'm just trying to go off of memory. I was so frustrated when my notes got thrown out, but there's nothing I can do about it. Forgiveness at Christmas, right? But anyways, don't bring that up with my mom either when you see her. Please don't. Anyways, in that book, of the 13 reasons, actually, none of them referred to his work upon the cross. And I was really shaking my head with the professor and the recommendation of this book. But they all focused on Jesus having to become human so he could understand humans. But here is the right reason why Christmas is important. Not the Hallmark Christmas messages that you seem to see in every movie, or corny Christmas movies with these cheesy teaching us of things. The real meaning of Christmas is right here. Jesus Christ appeared to take away sins. If we forget this truth, we might as well be a bah humbug. It's all pointless if we forget this truth. Jesus takes away sins by means of his death on the cross. And of course, John talks about this quite a bit in this letter. 1 John 2, 1-2, if you want to turn there, it's the previous chapter. 2, 1-2, 1 John. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Okay? That's why I wrote it. Don't sin. But if anyone does sin, and that's all of us, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous. He is the propitiation, big word there, for our sins, and not only for ours only, but also for the sins of the world. If your Christmas message has no room for the cross and Christ Jesus bearing the punishment of sin, coming the earth to do that, it has nothing to do with Christmas, the biblical Christmas. And today, if you've not trusted in Jesus, if you've not leaned upon Jesus and his work, do so today. If you've not realized that you've even sinned against God, hear John in chapter 1. Or rebelled against God, or gone your own way in defiance of God. Hear what John says earlier. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So either we say we haven't sinned and the truth isn't in us, or we acknowledge our sin, our rebellion against God, and we get cleansed from all unrighteousness. We're pure and blameless in the sight of God. To use a Christmas illustration, we're all on Santa's naughty list, because, and we truly, desperately need a true Savior to come and deal with our sin. And he did it by the cross. So trust Christ, come to Christ, embrace Christ, lean upon Christ, enter into a relationship with Christ, acknowledge your sin, turn from your sin, and find joy in Jesus alone. So Jesus appeared to take away sin. Third point, in Jesus is no sin. This phrase is so hard for us to understand because our lives have so much sin, and the culture around us is so much sin. Turn on the TV. Almost every news report has to do with sin. And I remember one of the police officers that spoke on Police Week up here said, every single call they go to, if you remember what was said there, it seems that they're dealing with Satan. And so we see that in our culture. We live in a sin-cursed world, a sin-saturated world, even a sin-obsessed culture. But this is what Jesus was all about. He had no sin. Yes, he was tempted. Yes, he even faced Satan himself, and Satan tried to get him to sin. But Jesus was victorious. And we even saw this in chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John, I just read it. Jesus Christ, the righteous, meaning he always does right in God's eyes. And even earlier on in 1 John 3, verse 3, and it says, and everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure, referring to Jesus. So there's no sin in Jesus, pure, blameless. And there's two reasons why Jesus was perfect and sinless, or reasons why he had to be. First, in order for Jesus to be the Lamb of God, or the Passover Lamb, he had to be perfect, blameless, without sin. Just like Hebrews 7:26 says. Now I'm going to do something radical here. Do any of the quizzers that are here have that memorized? Surely we have a high priest who truly meets our needs. Holy. Set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. We needed to do that more in maybe uniformity. I heard of three people saying that. I'll read it in the ESV 7:26. It was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest. Now I'm going to mess everybody up. Holy, innocent, unstained, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. Jesus had to be that pure and blameless sacrifice. But next, Jesus was perfect in order that he could be an example of holy living to us as well. We see this plastered throughout the letter. Even just read what surrounds this 1 John 3:5. Look at 1 John 3:4. Whoever makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Then go to verse 6. 1 John 3, verse 6. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. So Jesus was a perfect sacrifice before God, And he was pure and blameless to be that example of holy living for us. Well, what does this mean to our lives? Just one thing to think about. Focus upon what is good and what is important at Christmas. If the answer to that is not found in Jesus alone, then you have some serious spiritual problems. Many different things demand our attention at Christmas. Maybe you're looking forward to some time off. During that time off, take time to celebrate Jesus with family, worship, and prayer. Maybe you can read the Christmas message to your family found in Luke and Matthew, the first two chapters. Maybe catch up on some of that Bible reading that maybe you've fallen behind because we're starting it again all over in January 1st. Spend time catching up and enjoying God and His Word during this time off. Maybe you're looking forward to some good food. Enjoy it to the glory of Christ and be thankful for what He's done for you and all the blessings that He's given you. Maybe you've had, though, a rough year with sin. Or maybe you've had a rough year with your job. Or maybe you've had a rough year with family. Or maybe you've just had a rough year with people in general. You still need the grace of Christ. Preach to yourself, even 1 John 1, 5-2, verse 2. It's a simple gospel message. Remind yourself again of the wonderful and matchless grace of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. So I pray that we can be a people that focus on what is good, only God is good, and what is important, Christ Jesus, His coming, and His death. Amen.